We're so glad that you're here to celebrate Christmas with us this morning. And, you know, if we've not met yet, we'd love that opportunity after the worship celebration this morning. You know, I just love these kids, and particularly the Dixon kids. You know, that's just joy, you know. And this is the intention of this season, that we are, God intended this to be a reminder of the joy of this message of Christmas. And I pray this morning that you would leave here filled with joy. I know that this time of the year can be very difficult for many of us. You know, I'm thinking of my sister right now who's celebrating Christmas without her husband. And some of you have lost loved ones at this time. And you know how painful that can be. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we think back to our own memories of Christmas that may not have been as fond as they ought to have been. And this can make this season feel very lonely for people. And yet the message of Christmas is one of great joy. And so this morning, as we speak of this celebrative event that we call the birth of Christ, Christmas, my prayer is that we would perhaps even for the first time experience joy as we never have. And I'm praising God for you, Colby. I was hoping that you would be here today. I know you. I don't mean to embarrass you at all, but we've been praying for you guys, and that's a blessing to have you with us, Jen. Good to see you guys. Blessings to you. Blessing to each one of you. This morning, you know, I had intended to do this anyway, but I think particularly with my raspy voice, this is going to be very helpful for me. We're going to do a responsive reading to open the service as we read through Luke 2, 1 through 20. You'll see on the screen that there is it'll say Pastor Brian and then congregation. So you know what that means. I'll read one portion that you'll read back to me, okay? If you're able, could you stand for the reading of God's word? The word of the Lord from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. It's your turn. Out loud. Oh, was it not on the screen? Come on, Patrick. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David.
He went there to register with Mary,
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child.
And
The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. The word of the Lord. Father, thank you so, so much for your word. And thank you, Lord, for those faithful servants who recorded these events. I pray today, God, as we recount the story of the birth of Christ, Lord, that this would speak life to us, Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we leave here filled with hope and with joy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. I do love this time of the year. I was saying to someone earlier today that it's funny because over the last 5 years since we had our granddaughter, we really have not had Christmas on Christmas Day. And so Christmas Day just feels a little bit like another day, at least for the last 5 years. But then I've reminded myself that we really don't know the birth date of Jesus. But it is good to have a marker, a reminder that God became flesh and dwelt among us. It's good to have, I'm thankful for those Christians who went before us, who created the Christian calendar that has these reminders, that remind us of these rhythms that we ought to celebrate that God became flesh. You know, this passage here tells a story of these angels coming to the shepherds, bringing its message, announcing the coming Christ. It's a story that I believe is familiar to most of us. Long before I became a Christian, I mean, I knew the story. And we've probably seen Christmas programs over the years. You know, we've had the story retold to us in various ways. It's a very familiar passage. And yet, God's word is such that I believe that every time we read it, he has something new he wants to speak to our hearts. And I pray this morning for us, each individually, God would speak to you. That you would perhaps multiply your joy or renew your joy this morning. In chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, again it says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I can only imagine what that must have felt like. Again, it's easy to read these words and go, oh yeah, and what else? But I tried to put myself in that place, seeing something beyond the ordinary shining down, and yeah, I think I would be pretty terrified myself. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I bring you good news of great joy. And I believe that one of the first truths that can help us find the joy God intends for us is that the message itself brings joy. The message itself that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And again, I know, particularly for those of us who have been in Christ for any length of time, we can take that message for granted. But I think it's worth it for us to sit back and to ponder this message. You know, many people in our culture know the Christmas story, but have not really heard the message. What was the message? It reads in verse 10 that it was good news of great joy. The good news was that a Savior has been born. That's verse 11. And so why the need for a Savior? Every one of us has been separated from God by our own sin. Every one of us. You know, I was thinking about this, and there's so much that I know as a Christ follower that I take for granted. It's been over 35 years since I said yes to Jesus. And you know, even when I stop and think about that, I'm like, that's more than half my life I've been following him. And I really do take that for granted. But I still very clearly remember that journey that I was on towards him. I remember in my early 20s, just trying to, I wanted to be a good person. I think most of us in this room want to be good people, right? Whether or not you've said yes to Jesus, yes, yet or not, there's something inside you that wants to be a good person. I mean, apart from psychopaths, most people want to do that, right? Most people want to do good. But, so in trying to come to this place of doing good, I was reading a lot of philosophies. I was reading the writings of various people from different religious backgrounds, Siddhartha and Gandhi. I was reading Martin Luther King. I was trying to set high moral standards for myself and how I was going to live. I had a very steady regimen of, the most influential motivational speakers that I could find. I went through like a training course from a now defunct group called LifeSpring. It was pretty much cultic, to be honest with you. But it was, the philosophy was carpe diem, seize the day. If you can conceive it, you can achieve it. The height of the humanist movement of the 1980s. I was into that. And Maria knows all about that. She would see me go through one course or another and come out all fired up and they would just fizzle. Then I started to discover Jesus. I couldn't maintain my own standards. I'm trying to set the bar here and I can't live up to that. And then I read Jesus and I'm like, all right. And it's like, he's making things a little tougher for me. Because, I would say, I'd never kill anybody. Jesus would say things like, you've heard that it was said, do not commit murder. But I tell you what, anyone who calls his brother a fool has committed murder in his heart. And I'm saying, Jesus, I'm trying to just live up to a certain standard. You're making it impossible. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery in his heart. And I'm going, okay, Jesus, I like what you're saying. I like a lot about you, but you're making it impossible to live this life. And what Jesus was pointing out to us is that we cannot do this on our own. We do need a Savior. I don't know, no matter how good you or I try to be, what God's standard is? God's standard is perfection. And every one of us would easily admit we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We use expressions like to err is human. If you're a human being, you're going to have sin, right? But the reality is that expression to err is human is actually not true. To err is to be fallen human. And we all are fallen human beings. But Jesus was human, but he never erred. He was the only one qualified to be our Savior. And this is the good news, that you and I need a Savior. And so this good news is that the Savior is born, and he invites us to turn from sin, to receive him into our lives. This morning, Elder Don and I were praying, and as we were praying, we were so thankful for the birth of Jesus. But he didn't come just to be born. He came for the cross, that you and I could be made right because he came as our Savior. This baby in the manger was our Savior. The shepherds has a choice to make now. They could run and hide and not receive the message, or they could trust the angel and hear the good news of great joy. And God is saying to each one of us, don't be afraid. Hear the message. Receive the Savior, Christ the Lord. We have this family tradition at Christmas time, which for this year is what? Is it the 30th or 31st? I don't remember. When we gather together for Christmas, we have this tradition. We have a nice breakfast together. And before we do any gift giving or gift exchange, we have breakfast, and then we tell the story of Christmas together. We go through it slowly, and we ask questions, and you know, we remind ourselves of why we do what we do. You know, I enjoy some of the cultural expressions. You know, I love the Christmas songs. I even love some of those songs that have nothing to do with Jesus. You know, but they're just festive. But it's not about those things. It's really about the birth of our Savior. And perhaps this week you may want to read together right up until Christmas. It's just a few days away. Just sit with your family and read through Luke 2 again. I don't want to say a quick prayer right now, even as we continue. Lord, I pray for those who are perhaps are truly hearing this message for the first time. I pray also for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray also for myself, Lord, that though we've heard this message before, may we choose to hear this message afresh. Our Savior has come. Our sins have been covered by his shed blood. And so we yield once more to you, Lord Jesus. May your favor descend upon us and give us your peace and your great joy. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And this is the second truth that I think this passage reveals to us that can help us to find the true joy that Christmas should bring to us. It's this, that obedience brings joy. Obedience brings joy. So they didn't just hear the message and go, "Wow, that was pretty amazing." They responded. They acted on what they heard. They were obedient. They went to Bethlehem and found the things just as the angels had said. In verse 12, the angel said that the sign to the shepherds was that they would find a baby lying in a manger. And this is exactly what they found, a baby in a manger. What's a manger?
A cradle.
A cradle. It's kind of like a cradle, yes. It's a feeding trough for animals. It's what they would feed animals out of. And every time I think about it, I think, you know, wow, a feeding trough for animals. And here is the one who would later call himself the bread of life. He'd come in such a fashion. The very sign of his coming, an indicator that he is our very life. And so this message, this good news of great joy is so much larger than just receiving Christ. It's living in obedience to him. It's understanding he's our very life and the source of our true joy. I was talking to a mentor of mine this past week, and he was saying, you know, these days he doesn't even, as he's talking to people and they ask him about who he is, he doesn't even describe himself anymore as a Christian. He says, "I'm a Christ follower," because the term Christian has become sort of watered down in our culture. Oh, everybody's a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. But the idea of saying, no, I follow Jesus. I'm not just giving myself a label, but I am a Christ follower. The idea, again, that if I say that I am a Christian, it does mean that I follow Jesus, that I obey him, I live for his glory. The Bible tells us that there is a correlation between obedience and joy. And so oftentimes when I find myself in a place where I'm saying, "Lord, where's my joy?" I have to take a step back and say, "Am I really following you as I ought to? Am I living really in obedience?" Because oftentimes when I'm lacking joy, it's because there's something I am either not doing or that I'm doing that I shouldn't do. Psalm 19:8 says this, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." And Jesus says to us in John 14:21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." I will show myself to them. Psalm 16:11 then tells us, "You will fill me with joy in your presence. God's intention for you, child of God, is that your heart would be filled with joy. And I do believe that obedience leads to joy. Now, circumstances do affect us because we're human. There's no question. And sometimes it feels hard to hold on to that joy. But I want to put it to you that even in the harshest of circumstances, even when you are feeling downcast and sad, because joy and happiness are not the same. Joy is that deep-seated knowledge that God is with you and that He is for you, no matter what is happening. That He is indeed a Redeemer, and He will take the hardest of circumstances and turn them into a place of rejoicing. Imagine what would have been like if the shepherds had never gone to Bethlehem, never discovered what the angel told them about. Maybe years later, the shepherds are sitting around again, and go, "Hey, remember when those angels appeared to us? You know, telling us about the baby born in Bethlehem. I wish we'd left those sheep and went to see if it was true." The same is true when, sometimes God speaks to our own hearts and says, I'm calling you to step out in this place. I need you to act here. And we resist God and we look back and say, what if I had chosen to follow God? What if I had chosen to follow Him? Why didn't I follow Him more wholeheartedly? I hope I'm not alone here. I know I'm not. But we've all been there, where God has called us to step into a particular situation and we have resisted and we wonder, God, what would have happened if I did? But the blessed thing about our Savior is that He is a Redeemer. And even when we fall short, He's able to restore the years that may seem lost. You may have heard the message and responded and said, yes, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And if you know that, then you know that there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. What God calls us to is to obedience. And that call to obedience is ultimately for His glory, but it's also for our joy, because He knows His ways are right and they're good, and that when we follow Him in His ways, it leads to joy. It leads to joy. What is it that God is calling you to obey Him in right now? What areas in your life have you been holding back from God? Perhaps it's a rift in a relationship, and God has spoken to you about making a remedy, and you're saying, God, but it's not my fault, it was their fault. And God says, yes, but I'm asking you to initiate, just as He initiated that reconciliation that we have with Him. It was God who first loved us that allows us to love Him back. Perhaps there's a pattern or a habit in your life that has been hindering your growth in Christ. It may not be overtly sinful, but you've heard God say to your spirit, there needs to be a change. Maybe there's a ministry that God has placed on your heart that you feel a little maybe underqualified for or inadequate to fulfill. And we have to remind ourselves that who is adequate to this task? None of us, but God empowers us. He gives us His Spirit that we can serve Him. Whatever it is, choose to obey. Not mechanically, but with a heart that finds its life in Jesus. That He would fill you with His joy, regardless of your circumstances. And so, Lord, even now, I ask that you grant each of us a willing heart to obey you, that we'd find joy in doing so, that we would find a fullness of joy in your presence. The truth is that we can find true joy in Christmas when we meditate on this message. The truth is that we can find true joy in Christmas when we are in obedience, we're living in obedience to Christ. There's a third truth that I'd like to express this morning that can help us to find that Christmas joy. Look at verse 17 now. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd had said to them. And this third truth is that telling others brings joy. Telling others. They spread the word, it says. The shepherd shared the message with others. The shepherd shared the good news. That word is gospel. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. They shared the good news of Jesus Christ. They spread the word. And maybe I'm reading a little too much between the lines, but as I read verse 18, where it says that all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said, what I hear is a passion in their communication. That they were so overwhelmed by the message that they had to tell others about what they had seen. There's no way that they could keep it inside. Right, Adam? It was too good. There you go. You know, when you have good news, you just have to tell other people. It's just last night I was, every once in a while, you know, I try to guard myself here, but I find myself like, I go on to Facebook for some reason or other, or Instagram, or one of these things, and then Maria and I were talking about this the other day, and I was just laughing at her, because I just started doing this. You know how it is? But I was on there, and I just happened to see from, I had the date written down here, let me see what it is here. It was oh goodness, I thought I had it here. But it was in 2022. I think it was, I can't even remember the exact date. I had it written down. But I was looking at Facebook and I saw my son's posting. And he says, "Well, I no longer have a girlfriend because she said yes. So I have a fiance." So he's posting this to the world. He tells people why, because it's good news. When something good happens to you, or there's something good in your life, you don't keep it to yourself. You tell other people about it. And I'm speaking to you, especially those of you who have said yes to Jesus, which is most of you in this room. How could you keep it to yourself? There is no better news that you have in your life, right? We've got lots of good things happening to you. You know, you have a new baby. You tell people about it. You broadcast. You tell people about it. Anything good happens to you, you want people to know. And there's no greater news than God became flesh. He dwelt among us. He came. He lived the perfect life. He went to a cross for us. He's provided salvation for us. But you know the thing about sharing good news, it's not simply that the event has taken place. Because coupled with that is the anticipation of what the future holds. And so when Matthew was describing the fact that he no longer had a girlfriend, but that he had a fiance, he's married now, he's looking forward to the marriage. And what does that look like? It's not just the event. You know, you find out that you're pregnant, a baby's on the way. It's not just that event. It's looking forward to raising that child. You know, it's the future. And likewise, when we think about the child coming today, this child has been born in Bethlehem. It's not just simply that he was born. But the Savior is among us. He's going to live with us. And so this good news has to be passed on. Not much more than that. It's the message of the event of his birth anticipates that even beyond our lifetime, that there will be millions more, unless the Lord comes tomorrow, there'll be millions more who say yes to Jesus. And I try to bear in mind that though my life is, you know, in the large scheme, pretty small, that each one of us who call on the name of Jesus have the opportunity to impact generations upon generations beyond us through just those people that God places in our own lives? Will we tell people about him? We talk about this quite a bit. You know, we know that in North America, one of the weakest areas of Christian living is just the sharing of our faith. We feel hesitant to talk about it. It's funny because in places where there is deep persecution, where people are put to jail and persecuted physically for telling people about Jesus, they're bolder than we are. But, you know, we, I guess, feel, you know, if we talk to somebody about Jesus and they say no, we feel rejected. And that makes it hard for us. We got to get over that. We got to get to the place of saying, I want to tell people. And we need to do it, obviously, as 1 Peter describes, with gentleness and with respect, that we respect people. We're not trying to beat people over the head with this message. It's good news. And the good news is that God loves every one of us and has loved us so much that he recognizes our sinful state, but has made a remedy through his beloved son. He gave up his son for us. I'm oftentimes reminded, particularly at Christmas, of the birth of my first child, Matthew, same one who's now married. Wow, what happened there? 35 years, my goodness. But I'm reminded of that. And when I first had this baby, and I was looking at him one day and saying, wow, God, you came as a baby. Father gave his son. And I was thinking, okay, if I could save the whole world, but I'd have to give up my son. Sorry, world. I couldn't do that. But that's how much God has loved us. And that is good news. And there's something about telling other people. And to trust God, to understand we're just vessels, you know, we need to do this with gentleness and respect. We're not trying to win an argument with people. We just want to proclaim the good news. 1 John 1, 3 and 4 says this, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. There's something about telling people that gives us joy. And now, Lord, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters. Lord, give us opportunity, coupled with wisdom and boldness, to share the message of Christmas, that our joy might be complete. Before I step down here today, I do know that it's because God is invisible, though his fingerprints are all around us. You know, we see God in creation and so forth. But, you know, it's we don't notice God all the time. And sometimes we have to place reminders in our own lives that God is with us. You know, in Matthew, when he says, when the angel was telling Joseph that this child would come, it was from the Holy Spirit. He said he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. If you look to the seat in front of you, there's a little card under each seat. Nobody's in the front row, so you're good. And it's just a bookmark, just a reminder that we'd like you to keep with you, just to remind you throughout this year, in whatever book you're reading, just keep it in there. Remind yourself that God is never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. He is with you. And now to him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Be blessed and be a blessing. Merry Christmas, church.